Today we welcome Brian Kelly, UK Web Focus at UCOLN, who is going to give us some information on what is UK Web Focus. Welcome Brian, thank you for joining us today.
Hi there Shirley. UK Web Focus is my job title. It was a title that was coined by UCOLN's previous director, Lorcan Dempsey, when he appointed me way back in November 1996. I started here at UCOLN. And my role then was to act as a focus for best practices and development for what was then the emerging web environment. So I've continued in that role since then, although the areas of work I've been involved with have clearly developed. So I'm now quite actively involved in exploring the potential of Web 2.0. The potential, the risks, the dangers, the challenges, the emerging best practices. That's probably the main area of work I'm currently involved in.
Could you tell us a little bit more about Web 2.0?
Well, I'm sure everybody is familiar with the term Web 2.0. There are a number of aspects to it. I have an interest in the notion of the network as the platform. So it used to be that we had to install the applications that we ran and we used within our own institution. But that no longer needs to be the case. The network is now available. Various technologies, such as RSS, are quite mature. So we can use services from around the globe. And this is, I think, particularly valuable for the higher education community, particularly at a time like today, when there is the recession, with possibly the worst aspects of that still to hit the public sector. We can now continue to do the development, continue to support our areas of research and teaching and learning without having to rely on upgrades and developments to services in-house. We can exploit the potential of the services that are in the cloud, as we say. So that's a particular interest. The other particular interesting aspect of Web 2.0 is the importance of the user. So people talk about the social web. It's a new term that has emerged over the past few years. And this is looking at the applications which become more effective the more users there are. We know with the telephone's not much use if there's only one telephone. But when everybody, you know, the vast majority of people have a telephone and it's with them all the time, it changes the way things that are done and provides new options and new possibilities. And for many of the social web services, the similar things happen. So, for example, I'm a frequent user of Twitter, so the microblogging service. So I use Twitter really to support to engage with my community as part of a community development and sharing. So if I have a query, I'll just say, does anybody know? And often I'll get an immediate response.
Mm.
I try to help people as well, and I try to use Twitter to maximise the impact of the areas of work that I'm involved in. So I think those social characteristics are very important. And I think the other area of interest in this type of Web 2 environment are the importance of mobile devices. I have an iPod Touch, which in the morning I sync it to my Wi-Fi network and download mail messages, overnight Twitter posts, tweets, and new blog posts on my RSS reader.
Mm-hmm.
So this means I can read those posts on my way to work. So suddenly I have what was previously a pretty unproductive time is now available to help me support my development and my areas of work. So this is where I feel that RSS, I keep saying RSS, is probably the most important three-letter acronym, which was why we need to make our content available via RSS using technologies such as blogs in order that the information can be available when you need it. The information for me is available in my pocket and I can read it at any time. And this is where I think those type of services are really important.
That's fascinating. There must, however, be a downside to this, perhaps. Could you possibly give us some more of the negative aspects of Web 2.0?
Well, with the notion of the network as a platform, there are the valuable services are available out there in the cloud. So there are obviously risks about the sustainability of those services, the performance of those services, and the trust issues about data that might be held outside your own institution. However, I think in one respect, the economic downturn is helping to identify the market leaders and the ones that will survive. Because, of course, we also need to think about the sustainability of services in-house in our own community. We know, for example, that the AHDS, the Arts and Humanities Data Service, folded following a funding cut from one of their funders. Mm. So those problems can also apply to services in-house. And it's also true if you lose staff, for example, or if funding becomes unavailable, it may be that in-house services are not sustainable. Mm. So there is a risk. So I recently presented a paper at the Museums and the Web Conference on a risks and opportunities framework for Web 2.0, which says you do need to be open about the risks and identify the risks and the concerns and the costs and the barriers. But you also need to apply that approach to in-house development activities as well. So that's one of the concerns. But I think perhaps the biggest concern are the people issues and the institutional issues. So although many people are engaging in a Web 2.0 world in a productive and valuable way, I think there are still barriers. There are still personal barriers and perhaps threats. Perhaps people think there's something wrong in not having services in-house. Perhaps they like to have the power and the control of the information is on my website and I manage this. So there are issues there. And there are also the bigger institutional barriers, because institutions can be slow moving. So it can be difficult and time consuming in order to move the effective use of the web from the early developers and early adopters and enthusiasts to the more wider community. But I also think there are legitimate issues of people do work in different ways. So I'm a believer in open development, so I use Twitter and I use blogs and I make resources available under Creative Commons license. But not everybody necessarily works in this way. So I do have do sometimes wonder whether the approach is to say, here are the portfolio of tools that are available to support your work, and that might be different in different disciplines, in different sectors, and also the different personal characteristics. So I would avoid the danger of mandating, saying that everybody must blog, because it's not necessarily for everybody.
That's fascinating, Brian. You mentioned in there that you've been giving talks and workshops. I presume you do quite a lot of that. Do you going around the country in the different sectors?
Yes. Last month I've been very busy. There has been a series of workshops that were organised by the SCA, the Strategic Content Alliance, which were held in England, Ireland, Scotland and Wales, which were looking at ways of surfacing one's content. And I was talking about the ways in which one could use the social web to make one's content, people aware of this content. So there's a series of workshops there. There was a seminar at STFC, the Science and Technologies Facilities Council. And next week, I'm looking forward to going to the University of Essex, where UConn will be holding its annual Institutional Web Management Workshop.
Oh, yes, I've heard of that very popular, very successful workshop, I gather. Great. Thank you very much for your time today, Brian.